and welcome to It Doesn't Work That Way with me, Kalisha Zachary.
And me, Chrishell Zachary.
Friend, how you feeling today?
Oh my gosh, blessed.
Come on, speak on it.
I'm so blessed that I often take like quiet, well, you kind of know my routine. We're sisters and business partners, but I'm so blessed that I often don't want to forget how blessed I am.
Mm.
So I take like in the mornings when I wake up, I don't touch anything. I don't, you know, I got a routine, but I just take quiet time. Mm-hmm. And I really just, I'm a very, 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 very grateful creative.
For sure.
Everything that I have asked for has happened. And I do not take that lightly. And I've asked for some huge stuff. And so I'm even like, wait. Me? Like, this is happening to me? So the blessed is a real thing. Mm-hmm. I feel so blessed. I feel so honored to do this podcast with you. It doesn't work that way with my sister and my best friend.
Man, come on now.
Now, you're my best friend.
You're my best friend, man.
Yes.
You are my best friend. And you
literally
know what was crazy?
Listen.
We always didn't get along.
I think about those years. And I mean,
we'll call them the dark ages.
We all have sibling rivalry. So, you know, that is
it not. It wasn't rivalry, though.
I feel like it was rivalry with a tinge of.
What was it?
It was growing.
We didn't know who we were.
Friend, that's a whole episode. We got to do that episode for real. But no, yeah. I think we were trying to figure out who we were.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had different set of friends. Of mm-hmm. course, we had different. We're 2 years apart. When mm-hmm. I was junior, you came in as freshman. I don't know why I remember like the high school very distinctively, but I do remember that. Like, you're Cashel's sister.
I hated it.
Why?
Because I'm the baby of the family, but I wanted to stand in my own.
Shout out to 1996.
You mean seven?
Well, I graduated and I was 90. When I came into high school, that was 1990. I mean, when I was a junior in high school, that was 96.
Oh, that's true.
And
that's
then
true.
You came in as freshman.
But it was like, mm-hmm. oh, you're Cashel's little sister. It mm-hmm. was like, that was the running theme. Every class. The only difference was I always ran for like student government.
You did.
You were never in that realm.
I was not. Like,
yeah, I was DECA. Student council. Mm-hmm. I was just, you know, totally into all that stuff.
But what I do appreciate,
yeah,
is that, you know, we graduated, we went to college, we did our own thing. But mm-hmm. when I
moved to Dallas first,
I did. And when I had the idea to become an entrepreneur, there was like, you were the first to come to mind. I was like, is anybody going to understand my dream?
Mm.
It's going to be Kalisha.
It's true.
And I was like, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to outline this thing to her and I'm going to just share this with her. And I remember at the beginning of our entrepreneurial journey, I'll share this story.
Child.
So we started in productions, like event productions. And so we had an event. And so we had to meet a minimum at the location for our event. And first, you got to have people there. You got to have enough people there in order to consume to meet the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kalisha was on pins and needles. She was like, are we going to meet this minimum?
Because we were contracted for the minimum.
We were contracted for the minimum. And you were on pins and needles.
And
he was like, are we going to meet this? Are we going to meet this? And for some reason, I have always been this way. There was no worry.
Total.
I was like, girl, we got this.
It's always me.
It is. What is that about?
I don't know.
Anyway, so that night, you were like a nervous wreck. You was like, all I'm saying to you is this. You was like, if we don't meet this minimum, and I'm like, we're going to meet it. You was like, but if we don't, you said, and if we can't fulfill this contract, you was like, if you going down, I'm going down too. And I was like, well, first we not going to go down, which right. I felt that in my bones.
Thank
but
you, Lord.
You don't know what that moment meant to me mm-hmm. as an entrepreneur during that time. You was like, there's no way I'm going to let you go down by yourself.
Mm-mm.
You was like,
we wasn't even raised that way.
Exactly. But I really felt it in that moment because mm-hmm. it was different. Mm-hmm. It was like mm-hmm. our first contract as mm-hmm. entrepreneurs mm-hmm. and it was a little, there was nervousness there. And it feels good to know that you got somebody in the world that really got your back like that.
And for those that are got that idea, that got that dream, I don't care if one person shows up, do it.
Man, you got to.
And learn from it. Nobody does it better than the Watts Podcast Network. Just for those out there, you know, we get off our tangent, but if you have a person in your life that believes in what you're doing, hold on.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut my best friend off.
Girl, go for it.
I have to say this. If you have that person in your life, mm-hmm. you're the most wealthiest person in the whole wide world.
Wealth. Period. And you hold on to that and you build with that. And mm-hmm. it could be a sister. It could be a brother. It mm-hmm. could be a spouse. It could be a mother. It mm-hmm. could be a father. Mm-hmm. It could be a friend. It could be a stranger who doesn't know you.
Can I shout out Naomi?
Shout out to Naomi.
Shout out Naomi, a.k.a. my mom. I'm going to give this.
A.k.a. Boo Bunny.
A.k.a. Kitten Kisses. I have to shout out my mom on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as I've been living, she has never, ever, ever been afraid of anything we ever said we wanted to pursue. I'm telling you, I could have came to my mom with something as simple as, I want to sell oranges on the side of the highway. My mom is like, I got the first bag.
Literally.
When we going?
Literally.
When we going?
Don't make me cry. That type of support is real.
It's so real. And mm-hmm. so I'm without excuse. See why I'm so blessed?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm without excuse. If I do not pursue everything that is on the inside of my heart, shame on me. I have no excuses. I have amazing people around me. I have...
Die empty.
Man, literally. And on that note.
And on that note, as we got on our tangent.
We did.
I've been thinking about this, Kashelle, and I want to bring it up.
Okay.
Okay. So, cultural differences don't matter when you are writing, directing, or producing a film.
Oh my gosh, as a writer and director, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it today. This is one that, up front, please write me. Good, bad, and different. please write me because I'm a learner. I like to learn.
Literally.
And I don't want to assume that I'm glad everybody don't think like me.
The world would be so boring.
I mean.
We need diversity of thought.
Please bring it. So please write us in. Tell us what you think. I remember there's an interview with Mr. Denzel Washington.
Put some respect on it.
Yes, go for it. Mr. Washington.
Mr. Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, he made a statement about could someone else direct, let's say a white person, could they have directed Fences was
sure.
literally what the question was.
Okay.
But I'm not saying it the same way the interview asked it.
Could a white director not have
It's not color, it's culture.
Explain the difference, because I think we're
Steven
in a space
Spielberg
right now.
Did Schindler's List.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Scorsese did Goodfellas, right? Steven Spielberg could direct Goodfellas. Martin Scorsese probably could have done a good job with Schindler's List. But there are cultural differences. You know, I know, you know, we all know what it is when a hot comb hits your hair on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. what it smells like.
Huh?
That's a cultural difference, not just a color difference.
Right.
So it's the culture.
You can be a good director and not understand culture.
Mm-hmm.
And... I sit with that because, you know, I know people are trying to say, why do we always have to look at
race?
Race. Why does race always have to come into it?
In the question that you asked,
mm-hmm.
why does race always have to come into the picture?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reserve that for another episode.
Okay.
Because we did not create that. So it's not.
We didn't.
We did not create that. And so because we
did. When you say we didn't create that.
We did not create that narrative
right.
where you would even have to
bring it up,
pose that question.
Correct.
So don't demonize us for
living in it.
Okay.
Friend. So let's talk about culture.
Yes. So
cultural differences.
So culture is a variation in our values, our beliefs, our behaviors, our customs. So when we were doing the first pilot, a mm-hmm. frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
We had a beautiful set designer. She came in.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Yolanda.
Yes. And she set the main character's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And in the bedroom, now we're getting ready to film. We're about to call action. She said, oh, I got one little finishing touch I got to put on this scene. And in the scene, she got an incense out and she lit the incense. And she was like, don't start, Cashel. Give me like 10 minutes because I want the incense to burn. I culturally understood exactly what she was doing. Mm-hmm. And so the incense was burning. And so she was like, you're good now. She left the room because she had to go set some other room. And so she was like, Cashel, you're good to go. So my set designer gave me the clear. So I'm about to call action. And the cameraman stopped. He was like, no, Cashel, I got to go. This incident is in camera view. Before I could even, you know, I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what he was referencing. He literally went to the counter, blew out the incense, and started cleaning up the ashes off the counter. And we were like, wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? He was like, there's ashes on the counter. The incense is burning. And we were like, culturally, that was on purpose.
The character would have done that.
Correct.
Culture.
And that was the cameraman. That wasn't even a director. I was like,
I mean, we were all wearing a lot of hats there. So he was trying to be helpful, but culturally,
he was
unaware
completely
of what that looks like. So I think when you are trying to create
art. Side note, mm-hmm. my set designer was so disappointed.
She was super
I had to like talk to her for like 15 minutes. I was like,
because she's okay. Serious about what
she
does.
She is. And it was so dope. The whole set, the vibe in the room.
She's dope.
She was like, he messed up the vibe.
Shout out to art department.
Yeah. But
like, she's amazing. But I get, if he had understood the cultural differences, right? Because he was going from what he knows.
Correct.
He's like, that is not what should be there. It's out of place. But if you understand the cultural differences, it helps promote respect.
I agree.
It helps promote tolerance.
Because
it's a job. You got a bomb paycheck.
Integrity. I'm an artist. Mm. With full integrity, I would decline. Mm-hmm. And I would say, can I shadow you? Can I refer somebody that's familiar with this culture? And then whoever, if my referral got picked up, I would be like, would you guys allow me to shadow whoever they did pick up, mm-hmm. the referral, mm-hmm. so that I could learn from them? And then I hope I would do that only for being an example that they would carry that on.
Oh, that they wouldn't be like, okay, I'm about to direct this movie about, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King. And then they're like, not a part. They just don't get it culturally.
Right. It's not to say that I couldn't do it, because I could go study.
You could.
I could go study up on the Jewish culture. I could go study up on the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. I could go study up on everything that affected the community. Mm-hmm. Right. And I could do my due diligence. Mm-hmm. But for me, I would rather my study be kind of a little deeper than that. Mm-hmm. I would like to talk to somebody that's trusted in that community. There's a trusted Jewish filmmaker. Okay.
My God.
A thousand went through your head.
Right. So, that's going to do justice.
Correct. And then I would be like, could I learn from you?
Most definitely.
About how you would approach this because you're so culturally keen to it? Then just take the money.
When I went out overseas and I was on my way to India and I stopped in Dubai. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the UAE. Mm-hmm. I did so much research.
Friend, I was like, I went on that trip too. It was amazing. But when we went, we went to like the library and we were like, what should we know about
the
culture?
It was the Rick Steves guy to travel. I wonder if he's still on. I wonder if he's like online. I gotta go look and see if he's on Instagram.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
So we were like, there's so much for us to learn during this trip. Mm-hmm. We were like, we just don't want to go over there because, you know, it's just enticing. But we really want to learn about the culture.
And what not to do and what to do and
correct.
How to be respectful of.
Correct. And I think that was important for us because we so value our own culture. Mm-hmm. And I would want somebody to take that same due diligence if they're dealing with the African-American culture.
Tailored media and events that feed your undiscovered needs, period. The Watts Dome is an energetic hub on Patreon, inviting you to join our creative community. Members can access exclusive content, interviews, including special episodes from our top podcasts. It doesn't work that way, by far the dopest version, and everything hidden. Additionally, subscribers will receive invites to special live events in cities like New York, Atlanta, Miami, Dallas, and Los Angeles, as well as unique tutorials. John Singleton was a guest columnist for The Hollywood Reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote, "Can a white director make a great black movie?
Ooh.
And he was talking about 42,
mm-hmm.
which was about Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. We miss you. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Not even going to go there. That's just... And he also talked about The Help.
Mm-hmm.
And The Butler and 12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
Right. Two films that had attached to it culturally people who were not grew up in the culture, and mm-hmm. then two films that did.
Okay.
42 was great.
It was. I remember.
42 was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I later found out that Rachel Robinson mm-hmm. served as a consultant. How do you feel about that?
I think that's wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so wise because...
And the producer was black. It was Darryl Pryor who produced it. But go ahead.
I think that helped authenticate the story so that it could be as true to form as possible. Mm-hmm. I think that was someone very caring and very thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
I love to hear that.
So would you be surprised that allegedly reported that... Spike Lee wanted to make Jackie's story.
Girl, stop. Mm-hmm. Wow.
What type of film would that be?
Ooh, we won't know.
We won't know. No, I mean, you know,
he could go at it.
He
but...
didn't, and then get this. Mm-hmm. I think he hadn't got financing for it, even though Denzel Washington, and yes, I said Denzel Washington, was attached to star. Denzel.
Exactly.
Denzel.
Exactly. So it... This episode is not about how talented we are and we're still underfunded.
It's not. We're going to leave that alone.
We're going to leave that alone. But it just speaks to the system.
It does.
It speaks to the system, and it also speaks to...
But culturally, what would Spike Lee have done had he still had the same producer, still had the same consultant, but he was the director?
I think it would have been very, very Spike Lee. I think mm-hmm. we would have saw something mm-hmm. extremely, extremely
mm-hmm.
tailored to his style, his taste. And then he could have completely just said, I'm gonna show him something. You know what I'm saying? He could have went anywhere as a creative. He could have done anything. Mm-hmm. And I think what's important is that I think the reason why we're having this conversation is because we know that we don't get that level of thoughtfulness and that level of care for stories about us.
We fictionally did with Black Panther.
We did.
Because it's Black Wakanda is not real.
It is not.
But
it's the first comic book that, okay, now it's the Penguin and Black Panther. So those two, because you know I don't do comic book.
Well, let's talk about culturally, right?
Culturally,
I don't. Let's put Penguin on the shelf.
I got you.
Even though we are currently waiting for season two. I mean, if that's going to come out, if y'all going to do a season two of a series, not the movie, but anyway, Black Panther.
Correct.
It's a fictional story.
It is.
Now, 42 was a real story.
It was.
It's about Jackie Robinson, right?
Yes.
So we got that in Black Panther.
We did. We got it. And Black Panther is very special.
What you say?
Black Panther is
I have Disney.
So
I pay
special.
My Disney membership, not for everything else on Disney, just when it's time for me to go back and watch Black Panther.
Wow.
Because we watched it. I watched it at Christmas.
Yes.
I did.
Right.
And it was amazing. It was like I was there for the first time all over again. And I can't wait for what's getting ready to come with the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about The Help. How did you feel about that movie? Did you see The Help?
Have never seen it a day in my life.
I saw it.
I'm very selective. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I just felt like there was the performers in him, complete and total respect. Shout out Octavia Spencer. Shout out Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two juggernauts to me in the industry. So mm-hmm. it had nothing to do with the talent. It was everything about the story. I was just not interested in being a part of that viewership.
Well, you know, Viola has come out and mm-hmm. said that she regrets in 2020 Entertainment Weekly mm-hmm. interview. She regrets that film. She said, being in that film, she said, the film was created in the filter and cesspool of systemic racism. Mm-hmm. She feels like the film catered mm-hmm. to a white audience. Mm-hmm. And didn't tell the whole truth.
Well, Viola, thank you for that statement, because that's the whole reason why I didn't watch it. Mm. I could tell.
Let's talk about it.
It just felt like it was the very thing that she described.
She said the film distorts, ignores, and trivializes the experience of Black domestic workers.
Come on.
She says the film didn't show the anger and hatred that Black women would have felt towards the white women.
Come on.
At that time.
Yes.
David says the film was invested in the idea of what it means to be Black, but it perpetuated a mm-hmm. white savior narrative.
And I'm so tired of that, which is why I'm a filmmaker.
Okay.
So, yes. So I'm so appreciative of Mrs. Davis's statement.
I got something else. Mm-hmm. Davis said she feels like she betrayed herself.
Ooh.
And her people.
Ooh.
Because the film didn't create enough opportunities for Black actresses.
Miss Davis, I'm already putting it out there. Please.
Now that's accountability.
On another level. Miss Davis, if you hear this, I would love to have you on. It doesn't work that way. Because you just basically telling us that.
Culture. She also said too many important scenes were cut from the film.
Wow.
So that means they filmed them.
Correct.
But it didn't make the release. And y'all know y'all can't do a director's cut. Okay, we just saying.
Right.
The film made the white women's voice stronger.
Mm.
Despite her regrets. Now, this is where I absolutely applaud her and her honesty and her through line.
Okay, Kalisha.
Because she said, despite her regrets, she gained from the experience.
Oh, lessons.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
It ain't just like, they didn't do this right. And then you storm off. She's like, but what did I gain from this?
Yes.
All of it wasn't bad.
Okay.
You know, including forming friendships.
That's beautiful.
With other actresses and the writer and director.
Okay.
So she honestly told her opinion of what that film, doing that film did for her.
Mm-hmm.
But then she also said, this is what I did gain from it. So it's not like we're just downing the people who made the film. In Hollywood, I feel like John Singleton said this in his article, and John Singleton, God rest your soul. Mm-hmm. But you know, John Singleton bringing up, he said, and I think he said, Hollywood want Black, but not that Black. That's his words. And he, you know, is an Academy Award nominee.
Right.
So
what does that mean?
I'm just saying, like, that's the highest of the highest in the industry, right?
I get that. I'm asking you, what do you feel like he meant by that?
I think he meant that culturally, we want what you bring. We want Cowboy Carter. We just don't want it from Beyonce.
Understood.
Do you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. We want American Requiem, but maybe we want somebody else that don't look like her singing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. And sometimes when if people would just be real, we are the only culture that doesn't get respected. Period.
Mm-hmm.
I as a producer, like, first of all, we produced and financed a short film by a first generation Nigerian writer, director. She's so dope.
She is.
She taught me so much.
She did.
I just think about it, what she taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And her voice, I am not Nigerian.
Correct.
I would be doing a disservice,
mm-hmm.
in my personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
trying to direct that film.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Now, can what being around it,
right?
So to your point, if it was about the Hasidic Jews, you're like, can I observe?
Yes.
So we were producers of it, right?
Correct.
So we had to be in the mix. But being around the table with other folks from the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
that were not necessarily born in America,
mm-hmm.
to hear that conversation
was enlightening.
Opened my mind.
My God.
Where I was like, I am learning here.
Mm-hmm.
I am learning. Yeah. Most people walk down the street, we walk down the street together, they be like, oh, y'all all from the same. No, we're not. I've never been to Nigeria. I don't know what that's like. I need her to do the bridge. And I always tell her, I say, you are my bridge.
Correct.
You're helping me to understand what I don't know culturally.
Shout out to Ifeanyi Awache.
Period.
And her film, her short film.
She's going to do some amazing things in this industry. I don't even know all the projects she's working on right now. I believe she's a professor right now too.
She is at Morehouse.
At Morehouse. She's amazing. She's brilliant. But if we ever culturally just come and say, hey, let me respect that, I think the world would be a better place. Like the same way, like people, our culture, wait a minute, let me talk about from a black person, because I'm black. We were robbed of our culture.
Correct.
We were stripped of our culture.
But can I tell you something that I think is the dopest about us in real time?
Real time, friend.
We were, we had nothing to, that was not our choice, but what we have created as African Americans.
What?
Is like vibrating.
When I knew, let me tell you when that really came to
our culture.
When they, I think, Prince Harry had moved here with his wife and they had did like James Gordon or something. And then they had went to like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air house and he started rapping the intro to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
This is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. Now take a minute.
Sit right there.
Sit right there.
I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called
Bel-Air.
Look at you!
And he's the prince of the United Kingdom. That's culture.
Correct.
And that's how impactful it is.
Correct.
So we were robbed of our ancestral culture in the Atlantic slave trade. It is facts. It happened. But when we got here, we created our culture anyway, and it's now American, Black American culture.
Great.
Is what we have. We was jumping brooms. Okay, we've survived a lot of stuff.
Yes,
and so when you are in film and you're putting out mass media, and you get an opportunity to do something spectacular, they could say, Kalisha, we want you to produce Memoirs of a Geisha too. I ain't doing it. But I would absolutely love to be in the room so I can learn something. Culturally, they're going to teach me something. I don't just
produce it. You could do.
I could produce it, but I would. I mean, OK, let's do that. Produce it. But then there's things from a producer side on that top sheet that I need to know. I'm not going to be able to be able to do. I wouldn't say. I need someone to be able to consult.
I hear you.
To be able to help me. And then I probably would take a backseat to producing it just to learn.
Okay.
That's the same way. Let's take culture and say the way I want to go on a Tom Cruise set. Shout out Tom Cruise. Kalisha wants to come to your set. No lie. And I want to learn because Tom Cruise does amazing things. I will go. Tom will get me in a movie theater. I'm going.
Okay. Especially when it comes to action.
Period.
Okay, I hear you.
I'm there. Tom, we ready, okay?
Okay.
So, but if there's things that happen on that set that are at another level that you got to be there to learn. So it's the same way as if you have this story that happens to feature culturally people of color and you're not there to learn.
So wasn't Brother Cruz in an Asian film?
I don't want to go there.
Okay.
But he was.
All right. And then wasn't...
Matt Damon was too. But I didn't green light those films.
You didn't.
But I'm just saying, right.
How do you feel about moments like that?
The story he was in...
Can I go to Zoe Saldana?
Girl.
So Zoe Saldana apologized. And Mrs. Saldana, we just... using your reference. But she apologized for playing Nina Simone.
Michelle, I will never see that film.
I've never seen it. Controversial 2016 biopic called Nina, a casting that drew criticism from the late singer's estate, rightfully so. I should have never played Nina, she said in an interview on Instagram with Stephen Canals, creator of TV show Pose. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I know better today, and I'm never going to do that again.
Who was on casting?
Even let's say some,
because she's a good actress.
Okay, it doesn't matter who was on casting.
Shout out to the lioness, it's good. She's a good.
It doesn't matter who was on casting.
Okay,
that's a part of like integrity.
Ooh,
integrity.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Integrity should have
said. I
see
where you're going.
I know a plethora of beautiful dark brown skin female actress could play this person.
Viola wasn't available.
Exactly.
Because y'all could have waited for her schedule to clear up.
So it's
why
about
y'all,
It's about integrity.
Two things. Mm-hmm. I still love Brother Cruz. So I don't know why they went there.
We do know why. Don't do that.
I mean,
don't
what I'm saying is
can
that...
Can we back up?
Okay.
You know why they went there.
I do.
We know why they went there. Let's drop the keys.
Come on, Hollywood. Let's do better. Here's my biggest key. Be considerate of all cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely do better around Black culture, Black American culture.
I agree.
Be considerate of all cultures, but do better around Black American cultures. Mm-hmm. Because the narrative of our culture in mainstream media
mm-hmm.
is distorted.
I would agree.
Be kind.
Say that slower.
Be kind. Mm-hmm. And kindness is not weakness.
It's not.
That's
extreme strength.
When you are kind, that's extreme strength.
I'm serious. It's too easy to pop off.
It's too easy to be a butthole.
It is.
It's just too easy. And when people really want to get the story right, listen to this. God, let this message go out to the top folks that's running Hollywood.
They listen. They gonna be able to hear.
When you really want to get the story right.
Yes.
You will build the right team.
I agree.
Period.
It's intentional. It's
you,
very
can
intention-
you do it? Yeah. Should you do it? Probably not. Culturally, you need to make sure that
you're thoughtful. I think you should just be thoughtful. You should be a thoughtful creative. And I get the money grab. I get it.
Yeah, we all want to pay our rent and
yeah,
mortgages.
I get it. But I wonder what would have flooded through for
42?
For Zoe. Oh. If she would have said, nope, this is a better candidate,
mm-hmm.
she probably could have tripled whatever she thought.
And because of her awareness and her acknowledgement and her taking accountability, Viola took accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe took accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Brother Tom Cruise will ever take accountability, but if you take accountability for what it is and you're that aware,
mm-hmm.
it's all going to come back to you
and
more. You're not going to lose it. We make mistakes. We're not telling people not. You're going to make mistakes, period, because mm-hmm. you're human. We do human things. But right now, this is 2025. We have been through Me Too, Black Lives Matter. We've been through all of these movements,
mm-hmm.
but have we really moved?
That's another episode.
I know. I need to jot that down. So here's the thing. And this is what I want to say to before we close out the episode.
Mm-hmm.
For the creators out there of color, culturally, if you have a story
mm-hmm.
and you are looking for it to come to life,
okay.
you need to join the Watts Dome on Patreon.
I agree.
Our People of Color Creative Writing Initiative, where Watts Production finances 100%. We finance your film. We have done this 3 times. We are not playing. This is not clickbait. This is real. I cannot tell. You can go to our website. You can find the proof. It's real. We are not lying. If your film is selected, we make your film. It's a 15 to 20 minute short. We've done it 3 times. We are tested in this realm. Never once have we said, oh, we're going to direct something culturally that we just don't understand.
Mm-mm-mm.
We will step away. So you could be an Asian American or whatever. You could write something
Latino
and it get picked up.
African.
And we want you
Black
to,
American.
Come on. Tell me about it. Let's talk about it. Educate me. And because we respect things.
Pacific Islander.
Hello. So you need to join the Watts Dome on Patreon, become a member. You can get exclusive access to what this is. We moved our People of Color Creative Writing Initiative to Behind the Dome. We've done it 3 times. I believe we are on our way to really accelerating this.
Mm-hmm.
As we grow, that initiative will grow. And the reason why we set out to do it is for this reason. Right here on this episode, what we're talking about, there are stories that people of color have that they don't have necessarily have the resources to get done. And people say, well, all people, some, you know, it's just not that. But yeah, ours is a little tougher. I'm just going to be 100%. I'm speaking from experience. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to see that come to fruition and come to reality. Yeah, what you want to say?
Nothing. I'm listening. It's good.
If you want to see that come to fruition in reality, there's an opportunity and a chance that that can happen. Mm-hmm. But you need to be a member to have a chance for that of the Watts Dome. So be sure to join on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And Kashelle, what do you want to say as you culturally? What do you want to say
culturally
as we get ready to close out?
I just want us to keep growing, mm-hmm. and I just want us to keep advocating. And everyone is stories are important. That's the ethos of us here at Watts Productions. Yeah. We want to make sure the stories that are told about our culture and our experiences are mm-hmm. done so authentically. Mm-hmm. And this has good, balanced representation. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to see their story just told any mm-mm. type of way. Anybody that cares about their journey or about their experience wants to be very careful with how those stories are told, and we value that here at Watts Productions. So thank y'all for listening to this episode.
Yes, thank you for listening. And listen, we're not anti anyone. I just have to say that.
It's sad you gotta say
that. I do. I have to put that out there because people will take it and like, oh my God, we're not anti anyone. We're just very pro us yes. and our culture and our people and overcoming mentalities.
Correct.
Our own and those that are around us. We have to be able to shift that out. So I appreciate you listening. Guys, thank you for listening to It Doesn't Work That Way. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next time.
Yes, we'll see you later. Bye. Thank you.